Something fishy. More than 70% of Earth's surface is covered by water. Earth's seas and its five larger, deeper oceans cover vast areas about which we know very little. Many parts of Earth's oceans can be more than 4 kilometres deep. The deepest known point on Earth is called the Challenger Deep, in the southern part of the Mariana Trench. It is nearly 11 kilometres below the surface of the Pacific Ocean. Most of the Earth's seabed is an awfully long way down and lost to us in darkness. In fact, we know more about space than we do about our ocean depths. Specialists called oceanographers and marine biologists are working hard to change that. It is relatively easy to study wildlife on land. You can set up camera equipment in a quiet spot to observe and record what you see. We know all about the great animal migrations, such as the herds of wildebeest that roam the African plains, or the fantastic migrations of swallows and geese to the hot lands of the world. We know that there are seasonal patterns and known routes that birds and animals use as they search for food and a safe place to breed. By contrast, we know much less about underwater life. There are more than 30,000 different species of fish. Many live in fresh water, while many more live in salty seawater. Just as there are different habitats on land, such as grassland or tropical rainforests, there are different habitats in the seas and oceans, such as cold undersea kelp forests and warm tropical coral reefs. Different fish species are suited to different habitats. A tropical clownfish would not last too long in the kelp forests of the North Pacific Ocean because of cold water. There are parts of the oceans with very little life in them. Most fish activity happens within a few hundred kilometres of land. This is because most of the nutrients in the sea wash off the land as water from rivers and streams. This is what feeds plankton, the microscopic plants and small animals that many fish use for food. Plankton are usually found where the sun shines and near land. Hence, many fish like to stay close to the land too. The open ocean is usually a lot less rich in fish and animal life. The oceans are often used for long migrations as some species of fish travel from feeding grounds to breeding grounds. We are only beginning to learn about the long journeys taken by sharks and tuna, for example. Salmon and eels make two of the most remarkable migrations. Generally, a freshwater fish will die if placed in salt water, and vice versa for a sea fish. However, salmon have evolved to overcome this problem. A salmon begins its life when it hatches from an egg in a small stream, usually far up a river. It will spend the first couple of years feeding on water insects in the river. When it is big enough, its body changes to survive in salt water and it moves out to sea with the current. The young salmon uses ocean currents to carry it north from, for example, Ireland to the cold seas off Norway. Here it will feed on smaller fish such as herring. After a year or two, the salmon, which is now much bigger, will return to the river and stream from which it first came. It is able to trace its way back to the stream in which it was born by following its scent in the water in the same way as a bloodhound might follow a scent on land. There, it lays its eggs, starting another cycle of life after an amazing journey of about 5,000 kilometres. The life cycle of the eel is still a mystery. It is thought that adult eels leave the rivers of, for example, Ireland, to swim across the Atlantic Ocean to an area called the Sargasso Sea. They lay their eggs among the rafts of seaweed that float in its calm, clear water. Experts are unsure of how the eels make the 6,000-kilometre journey to their spawning grounds. Maybe you will be the one who discovers their secret someday.